All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Another episode of Tech Watch Radio takes to the airwaves. Thanks so much for being alongside for the ride. We keep an eye on tech so you don't have to. Brought to you by networkprovidersinc.com and nptechguys.com for the podcast website. I've got Newman with me. Welcome, sir.
Howdy.
Jay Harrison's in the mix, too. Hello, my friend. Hey, if we get time, we're going to talk about that cyber disaster, Cybertruck deal. But before we get to that, we've got a very heavy topic we want to talk about, pen tests. You say, what the heck is a pen test? When I was a kid, a pen test was, can you write? But nowadays, it's a little different, Newman.
Yes, it is. It's not more of how can you touch your brain with a pen, but it's more of penetration testing and how your network will succeed, as well as the internals, the controls in that you've set in place.
And this has to do with firewalls, it has to do with rules in the firewalls, it has to do with open ports, it has to do with how your network is set up internally, if you have certain things that need to be isolated on certain intranets, if you've got internal websites for certain things that, you know, your employees use. It's all that stuff mixed together in a big test of understanding of, hey, how vulnerable are you in every bit of these areas, right?
You're correct. And it's really, there's a lot of levels. There's level 1, 2, and 3. But the first level is the surface level. It's agent
that's me.
On the
I'm
machines.
Level 1, Jay's level 2, Newman's level 3.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right. three is you have no life, you're just a geek. So
but I shouldn't have said Newman was level 3 then, people.
I actually live it.
No, but there is levels, and the reason that level is important is because, you know what? You don't need to take on level 3 right now. Just take on level 1 and work on it, and then say, hey, now I'm ready to consider level 2, right?
You're correct, because it entails a lot. And, you know, really, a lot of people ask me, well, should I even do that? And I go, well, you know what? Let me ask a couple of questions. Do you trust every employee that they have security training and they know what they're doing? Or are you under a regulation or compliance need? That's the reason why. Ultimately, everyone should do it, just so they know where their baseline is and what they need to work on.
And remember, I don't believe most people are malicious. You know what? I'm not saying those people don't exist. They do, and you got to guard against them. But really, what you're dealing with most of the time is people with the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Is that how they say it? What I mean by that is, you know, people don't really even mean the harm. They don't really realize the ramifications until it's too late. And it's simply an error of lack of knowledge more than anything else. It's a misstep. It's not intentional or evil or sinister or that kind of stuff. It's just humans are humans and they do goofy stuff, Newman.
You know what? I would say also for the admins out there, you know, you get pulled in so many directions. Do you remember what you changed last? Whereas, like, for instance, one company we went to, we did a risk assessment, and we found out that port 3389 was open on a second firewall that they had totally forgot about. Now, the admin didn't know about that. Also, he didn't remember that he had disabled the antivirus on his machine to test something and never put it back. These are things where they can be checks and balances for everyone. And we're not trying to go after the admin. We're just saying, hey, look, you know what? Run that more than you want, and you'll know that I forgot I left the back door open. And go ahead
and close
it.
Think of it more as a second set of eyes for the admin is how you want to think of it, right?
It totally is. And, you know, and the point is that everybody gets busy. We make changes to try and, did that work? Okay, I'm going to change it back later tonight. You have a lot of things that go on before that night, and you forget. And it stays open for months and months because nobody's ever checked it.
How often do people need to run these pen tests? And how complicated, how expensive? Give us the breakdown.
So the beautiful part is they usually run about $250 for the level 1. But right now, Network Providers is providing a special that, for free, a level 1 risk assessment pen test on your environment till June 30th. And what that'll do is we can run it and see where your baseline is. But most people should run a penetration test every 6 months. That would be the key.
So it's a semi-annual event, and then you basically put those documents in a file so that if you have to, you can even go back and say, look, we know the breach didn't happen because we did the test on this date. We know that it was after that date or whatever. It's a help to narrow things down and create accountability, as well as it is a protection if you ever need to pull that kind of documentation out, right?
Correct. And that's the key, is the documentation of all changes. Even if you're a medium to large business, change management will love this pen test, because this shows that, okay, the changes are in place. They're actually what they say they are. Oh, but we missed these two. So you can go back and make sure that change management is successful.
Tell me the difference between level 1, 2, and 3. Is there kind of a general understanding that you can explain the differences?
Level 1 is more of a scan of the machine environment, and they're going to do an internal. And then we also have the external IPs that we scan. We look for 2FA, encryption, antivirus. Level 2 is all the above, but it also includes backup and email, because we all know that, you know, 365, we need to audit it from time to time so we don't get the middleman attacks, things like that, IP spoofing. Level 3 is all
hold
above.
On. Before you go on, so think of level 1 as a baseline. Think of level 2 as everything level 1 has, plus email, plus et cetera. And then level 3 is even double plus, right?
Level 3 is even education, policies, procedures, and maybe a simulated attack to see how it goes.
So that's the point we want you to understand, folks. IT now has developed to the point. When I started out in IT, one guy could just handle all the IT needs for a company. It's not even close to true anymore. There's just too many disciplines, too much knowledge. Unless you do something every day, you can't know. But we've gone to the point where now what we do is, instead of just running tests internally and say, oh, look, our tests show you're good, or, you know, hey, you know, you got a strong encrypted password for your email or whatever, now we're starting to do active things to not only test the networks and the systems and for security, but to test the people involved. So, for example, we can send out test emails, and if you click on it, we can say, you know what? Thank heavens this wasn't a real phishing scam. This is our test. And you know what? We got you. You should not have clicked on that. And then we provide feedback and training and guidance so that people get smarter. Same thing with this level 3 for the pen test. We can literally do our best to simulate a penetration and see how the system acts. It's quite different. It's another level from just saying, I ran some tests and everything looks good. It's actually active interaction about how your system responds to different things. And we can probe that and test it. And that's how the best in the business do it, Newman.
That's correct. And really, ultimately, we're not there to find the flaws and everything. We're there to run a risk assessment, a pen test, and show the vulnerabilities so that you're protected. And maybe cyber insurance is a piece of this, or your regulations. You need to get a baseline for regulations. This is a great way to do it. This pen test also, we're actually throwing in something else that ties to this. And we're actually doing a dark web scan as part of this penetration test and risk assessment, so that we can find out what's really on the dark web.
Now, I want to explain the dark web a little bit, because I think people are confused. It's not a different place than the regular web. It's different in that there's different ways to access it or connect to it. So my point is, it's not, you know, you don't have to, you know, get a computer that can support the dark web or anything. It's not a different location. It's just merely different ways of accessing things on the regular web, but they become the dark web because it's kind of all underground. It's hard to know who's who. It's hard to know what's what. It's just like driving. Well, it's just like walking down an alley as opposed to walking down the normal streets of society, right?
It really is. The dark web is a whole different place where things are bought and sold. Identities are bought and sold. It's just, it's really dark. It's got a lot of nefarious type actions to it.
But think about it as the back alleys of the internet, right?
It really is. It's like, it's just the sewers and the, you know, the dark Batman type atmosphere. That's where a lot of stuff goes on. And people often, you know, treat it as like in marketing, they put a hacker inside of a vault room and that. It's even worse than that. I mean, it's just you get some horrible stuff. And with that, whenever we do a dark web scan, we always find current passwords for customers on the dark web. And this is a great feature.
And the reason why is because the biggest of companies get breached and hacked all the time. And you know what? It's impossible to stop it because it's not even you that got hacked.
Correct.
It's whoever had your information that got hacked, and they wholesale leak all this stuff. I even sometimes wonder if it's intentional on the part of some of these companies that happen so often.
And that's what, you know, we have internal employees that leave disgruntled. They also can, you know, sell off things, and a lot of times they do, especially at bigger companies because they don't get caught because they might have just been a bank teller or something else, and they get on the dark web, they sell, they make their money, and then they move on. And ultimately, we find that we can also, in this first risk assessment, this level one, we can crack the passwords on Windows and then provide just a hash of it so that they can see. And I'm not going to lie, 90% of the time, people do passwords with the company name in them.
Not good. Not a plan, people. Get a strong password manager. Make all your passwords unique to everything you do. And make sure that you don't even know the password. Okay? So you want that kind of zero trust component involved, right?
Correct. And that's where this can come into play, is we can also look at how many characters you have. How many are you doing intruder lockouts? Things like that. This is the baseline risk assessment to give you that. We've gone into companies where they had 3 characters minimum on their password and no intruder lockout. So we find it, and then we want to help fix it, or you can fix it.
And, you know, sites are getting better at this. They're requiring two-factor or multi-factor authentication. They're starting to demand that you have longer passwords, that they have letters and numbers and mixed case and special characters and things like that. So we're getting better all the time, societally speaking. But you don't want to be the low-hanging fruit. That's really the bottom line point that we're trying to make. Jay, do you have any follow-up input or questions?
Well, I was going to ask you, when you do penetration testing and you've got these levels 1, 2, 3, you're doing everything software-wise. Do you guys ever handle any physical, like security penetration testing, locks, server rooms, things like that, or is it all remote?
Yes, that's part of the level 3 because we look at policies and procedures, and if you don't have locks on your server rooms, you don't have key access, you're not tracking the visitors that are coming into the environment. These are all things that we educate people on because ultimately you've got not just ethical hacking, you have social engineering, things like that, that can be put in place to test these policies.
You also have pretexting, where, believe it or not, it's not even a super high-tech solution. It's just that I get on the phone with a girl and she gives me the password, or she, hey, I'm with the IT department, I need to do this and this for you, and she divulges this or that. And a lot of times it's just pretexting, Jay. It's super simple, but yet it becomes very elaborate in its carrying out of the simplicity where they got the information, then they do some real sinister stuff. But it was very simple how it all started out.
Yeah, the social engineering. That's the hardest one, I think, to prevent. You know, you can have software and safeguards and physical access, but people are sometimes the weakest link as far as they're able to get duped by people.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get – go ahead, Newman.
Well, I was going to say, you actually just put pictures of Hawaii on a CD with a program. They end up always taking that CD. When we did it at one bank in New York, we ended up getting 45 machines inside of 2 hours.
Oh, my gosh. It reminds me of people seating a parking lot.
I got a ticket for you, buddy.
Yeah, it reminds me of people seating a parking lot with thumb drives just to see who will pick them up and stick them in a machine to see what's on there.
You're right. Curiosity. Buying thumb drives off eBay. What's more dangerous than that? I mean, I just don't get these people that are streaming and doing this. So,
amen to that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get an inexpensive assessment, either level 1, 2, or 3. NetworkProvidersInc.com has a special right now. Go there, get it done. If you want to spread this show to your friends and loved ones and people who may need it, NPITechGuys.com gets that done. You know what? We're on Apple and iTunes and we're everywhere. Spotify, all those different listening opportunities are available with NPITechGuys.com, or just go to the website. The website's pretty cool, though. You click a button and it's all the podcasts, all the shows. You click the switch, and pretty soon you got all the news from network providers on the same site. So it's pretty neat. Make that a bookmark in your world, would you please? All right, I want to wrap up this episode by talking about the Cybertruck. Headline says, Cybertruck owners are not thrilled. Quote, what a nightmare. Tesla's getting slammed in the forums after they released their Cybertruck. The truck is dead. I'm waiting for a tow truck. One customer writes, I tried everything, restarted, did all this, and that doesn't work. Now, look, Elon Musk, you could have seen the writing on the wall with this. He demonstrated the truck, literally shattered a window that wasn't supposed to break. That's how it started out. Then he promised that it would be delivered at a certain time. It never was. Finally, they're rolling out the assembly line, but everybody says they're not what they hoped they'd be. How do I return this thing? And they're finding that people are ending up on the side of the road. If it's super cold or hot, the amount of charge they have was supposed to last a certain amount of miles. It's not. Then if you're towing something and it's cold or hot, just forget it. You can't even go anywhere. There's not enough. Even Tesla has more charging stations than anybody else, but it's not enough. People are getting stuck. If these trucks have a problem, or any of these EVs or electronic or electric vehicles or whatever you want to say, a lot of these they're catching on fire. If they get flood, then there's salt from the salt water that then eventually combusts. And I mean, they're too heavy for the roads. I mean, this is just a disaster. Jay, your thoughts, and then we'll go to Newman.
You know, I personally, I don't own a Cybertruck, so I can't say how good or bad they are. I've only can look at people's reviews. I love the concept, though. I love the idea of this hardened truck, electric, futuristic. I mean, I love the way the thing looks. A lot of people, it gets a lot of grief over that. So I'm kind of a fan, but I don't know. I mean, the reviews are coming in and people are having some problems with them. So it's a mixed bag, but, I admire Elon Musk for, he has an idea and he puts wheels on it, man. He makes it happen. And it's pretty interesting.
I agree 100%, but how much do these things cost?
Well, they're expensive, no doubt. I mean, you know, they were supposed to be $40,000. Now the base model is about $60,000. You can get in, you know, the super model for like $100 or $100,000.
But if I spend that kind of money, $40,000, $60,000, $100,000 on a vehicle, I don't want to be the guinea pig experiment.
I know, dude. But it's bleeding edge technology. You know, it is the cutting edge, and so you've got some of that. I think when you're almost like an investor, if you're buying a Cybertruck, like a capital, you know, venture capitalist, you don't know if the thing is going to happen. It's brand new. There is no history on it, but I love the concept. I just got to say, you know, if there's a fanboy on the show for
it, if it just worked, it'd be awesome. I believe that there should be just like perpetual motion energy to it. It'd be incredible, right, Newman?
I totally agree. I mean, and the thing is, I would expect that, you know, solar panels all across the vehicle, you know, so you didn't have to be at so many fill-up stations, right? And so, you know, but it really is. It's great technology. It's just, it hasn't been tested like it should have. And, you know,
and
it's
I don't
funny
have a problem with the progress and the technology or anything else. My problem is that they're mandating these things and people are being forced into these worlds where it's just not a reality. I mean, I got to get from A to B. That's what I need. And, you know, when I was a kid, it was like, can you afford a car that's reliable? Well, now can you afford to buy a car that's what? Now
it's not
$1 million and it's not reliable.
Yeah, people are not buying these like they thought they could mandate and do. And, you know, it's the fact that, like, watch the YouTube of people that try to run through a puddle and now their Tesla truck's completely fried. And
oh no.
It all based upon one that I saw was a sensor in the fender that was under the fender, sealed up, got water in it, and fried the rest of the truck. So it's kind of, it needs a little bit more usability testing.
It's got to be tougher if
anyway,
it's going to be a truck.
I don't mean to mock it, and I don't mean to make fun of anybody who's bought one of these, and I don't mean to be flippant like that. I laugh a little bit because, you know, again, it's the big showmanship up front where this thing's incredible. You got to get one. It's $40,000. And look, the windows won't even shatter. And then the windows shatter and it's not $40,000. Then now it doesn't run. And it's just like, man, I don't mean to be rude, but why don't we do a little bit more testing before we do that, quote, marketing? I'm just thinking.
And it's not the testing that YouTube did, where a lot of them went and got the Cybertruck, went out with a 50 cal and started shooting the doors and everything. Now, I'll drive one of those around that have the bullets in the doors. I kind of think that's cool, but
that is cool.
That's way cool. But I mean, testing, though, day to day, like get the CEO and put him in California, like San Francisco or something or whatever, L.A., and say, you know what, I need you to drive to New York in this bad boy. And just drive. Don't do something crazy. We don't need, you know, to do the Ram Tough, whatever test. We just need to, like, do mere mortal driving tests. Hey, When it's cold, does it work? I drove it in winter. I drove it in summer. It worked great every time. I even towed my trailer, and it worked great. Those kind of basic, we talked about baselines in our IT testing. What about baselines in this? It's like, right. I just want the thing to run and get me A to B. We'll do the fancy testing and the cool marketing whatever later, right? But they didn't do that stuff is the problem. And the reason that I bring this up now is I want you to compare that to your own internal IT at your company. Do the basics. Do the testing. Do the reality checks. And that's what we're here to help make happen, Newman.
Are you headed for an electronic fire in your vehicle or your network? I mean, these are things that we need to check and we need to know before it happens.
Yeah, it's like the country song, you know, your truck catch on fire, I'd rather roll it down a hill than I would rather have a Coupe de Ville, right?
So true.
Gotta have the truck, Jay. Jay wants one of those cyber trucks. He's waiting for one used, aren't you, Jay?
Yeah, I haven't seen them on the used market yet, so.
Yeah, when you get a used one, it won't have a good battery, though. That's the big problem. And then the battery will cost just as much as the vehicle. No.
Yeah, because if somebody loves it, they probably aren't going to sell it, right?
Yeah. Maybe so. Anyway, I hope they get their act together because I do agree that it's very cool technology to keep an eye on, to watch, to learn about, and eventually, hopefully, it can roll down to mere mortals like me that can't buy $100,000 trucks, and I can eventually get something like that, right? I'm not saying they wouldn't be cool. The torque in them is incredible. The power that they have is incredible. They're even talking about EV semis. Now, I don't know how well that's going
to
go. But
yeah, there are other companies like Edison that's trying to do EV semis. And but I love to see the innovation, and I, you know, as a technology show and as a technology person, I'm always looking forward to that stuff. And we know that a lot of it doesn't pan out. I mean, one of the things we've always said on this show was we kind of avoided some of the stuff until it was really for market and really you could get your hands on it, because there's so much things that turn out to just be vaporware. They never, you know, they talk That's about right. things and it never even makes it to market. So
but I don't care about like anything it. With the truck. All I want to know is that the radio works, Newman. Come on.
That's right. Does it play
does it have
any
AM?
Type of, you know, Billy Idol or even, you know, Ozzy Osbourne?
Or Tech Tunes. You got to have Tech Tunes.
Right? Yeah, or Tech Tunes.
All right. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we want you to know that we are available to do pen tests, penetration tests. There is a special on them now, networkprovidersinc.com, to go ahead and get that. We can also just talk to you about anything you want to. If you're just like, hey, I've got a few questions. I don't know where I want to start. You know what? We're here for all that and more. If you want to spread the word about the show, if you want to get it on a radio station in your market, please get a hold of us. We'd love to hear from you. NPITechGuys.com for that. You got the shows. You can listen to them anytime on demand. You also can click that button and then read all the different tech tips and notes and headlines that we bring forward on a consistent basis. If you go to networkprovidersinc.com, you can sign up for the email list and get those incredible tech tips and training and education tidbits. Believe it or not, those are free and they take you a long way when it comes to simple understanding of what to do and what not to do when it comes to things that happen, you know, phishing or, you know, your computer network or your computer or, you know what, I'm at a cyber cafe or I'm here or there, or I'm at a Starbucks or what, you know, hey, don't just connect to those networks and think it's all cool because, you know, you connect to too many things, you're a little too loose with your connectivity and it doesn't go well. You get all kinds of viruses and stuff like that. And so we want to make sure that you have enough knowledge to make sure you're not the low-hanging fruit. It's always a risk-reward analysis, but we're convinced that we can make sure that you're in pretty good shape. And believe it or not, the 80-20 rule here works. You know what? You get a little bit done. It takes you a lot further than you think it does. And even though you say, you know what, I don't have all of it done, a little bit goes quite far, Newman.
It truly does. I appreciate this avenue of getting this information out to everybody.
All right. Final thought, Jay?
Yeah, I appreciate it. We look forward to seeing you guys next week.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, two episodes come out a week. It's on Saturdays live on your radio stations and NPITechGuys.com. The Loving Liberty Radio Network carries the broadcast as well, LovingLiberty.net. And then it's two podcasts a week come out, one on Saturday and then the other one on Wednesday. And we keep an eye on tech so you don't have to. Thanks so much to all of you from us, the Tech Watch team. Make it a great tech day, will you? Thanks.